All right. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Technology Outlook Week. We are really excited to be bringing this week's sessions to you. We have a lot of good topics and a lot of good content to share with you this week. Just a little bit about the MO behind our Technology Update Week. As you may have heard through the grapevine, spring and summer trade events have been canceled or postponed. So we're using this week to bring you up to speed on some of the things you would have seen had you been able to see them out in person. And all without having to be frisked by the TSA, so it's a point in our favor. Today we kick the whole shebang off with Production Inkjet, which will be presented by Elizabeth Gooding of Inkjet Insight. First, just a few little housekeeping items. We could change the slide. We will be entertaining your questions during this 30-minute session. The Q&A box is at the bottom of your screen. Feel free to ask a question, and we will either respond as soon as it is asked or hold it until the Q&A section at the end of the presentation. And also, please type your question in the Q&A box rather than raising your hand, because I don't know how that works. This session is also being recorded, and you will be able to download today's presentation, both slides and audio, which should be up on the webinar archive by the end of business today. If you need to use the restroom, I can't really help you there. Today's webinar is sponsored in part by MCS, bringing you the latest inkjet solutions for the mail manufacturing industry, including the MCS Condor 250 process color inkjet envelope press, which prints up to 15,000 envelopes an hour and works with most inserters. The MCS Merlin K146C is an affordable production process color cut sheet inkjet press for mailing, and the MCS Hayabusa inkjet press is capable of 1,000 feet per minute using piezo inkjet heads. These and other solutions for printing and mailing can be found at www.mcspro.com. So thanks very much to MCS for helping us bring today's program to you. So let's dive right in. Telling you all about the latest and greatest in production inkjet is Elizabeth Gooding. Off you go, Elizabeth.
Hey, Richard, thanks for the introduction. You do such a great job on being an MC. So it is a pleasure to open what they think's Technology Week as the world is slowly opening for business as well. I'm in Boston, Massachusetts, which is in a not very clearly explained phase one of reopening plan today. So really looking forward to seeing what that ends up looking like. So basically in the situation we're in, we can't really look at the technology outlook without looking at it in the context of the world outlook. As much as I'd like to make it through this webinar without talking about COVID-19, it's kind of unavoidable. So what we see right now is that the US and Europe are very much consumer-driven economies, and COVID-19 quarantine has caused historic levels of unemployment, debt problems, lending problems, and it's shifted consumer buying patterns in their ways that just may never shift back. So the US economy and specifically print segments were somewhat stronger than the rest of the world at the end of 2019. And so we may see a slightly faster recovery, but it's not going to be fast. So many print organizations were forced to close, and print OEMs share that burden as both their recurring revenues from production print volumes and their ability to sell new devices are kind of taking a hit. But the economy will recover, and the inkjet economy specifically will recover. So rather than make you all depressed, let's take a look at what that recovery might look like in different areas. So as you can imagine, it's pretty difficult to put together a forecast during a pandemic, but if there's anyone you can count on to come through in a pinch, it's Marco Bohr of IT Strategies, and he's shared some research with us. In April, just a couple weeks ago, IT Strategies developed a report called Digital Production Print Markets, Financial Models for the Coronavirus Recession. Sounds like a great read, right? So I'll spare you all the details of the great amount of background work that IT Strategies did, but in a nutshell, they drew on their base of historical data on installs and OEM recurring revenue, and they looked at factors special to each print production sector. And then they looked at macroeconomic factors influencing all these different sectors and looked at it in several different ways to be conservative. They then created a model of what a V-shaped recovery might look like and what a U-shaped recovery would look like. And the V-shaped one is, that's what we're looking for. It's more positive, and it's also, happy to say, more likely. So that's what we're going to take a look at real quickly here. So hardware revenue is shown in blue, and recurring revenue is shown in orange on these charts that I'm showing here. So for you color challenged folks, that would be the left and right bars respectively. I know my color perception challenge friends are out there. So this chart is showing all digital production printing markets worldwide. It projects that it'll be about 2024 before recurring revenue is back up to 2019 levels worldwide. So the US recovery may be a little bit faster. So the reason I want to look at this, even though it was designed from the OEM perspective, is that we can look at those recurring revenues as a proxy for print volumes. So if you think about it, the more pages produced on installed inkjet equipment, the more recurring revenue you'll see for the OEM. So if we look at the same chart, the same snapshot, but we're looking at the worldwide market for continuous feed inkjet printing, where inkjet's really firmly established, we see recurring revenue bouncing back significantly by the end of 2020, back to 2019 levels. There's the potential for growth in 2021 as compared to 2024 for the broader digital printing market. New roll-fed equipment sales, which were already flattening in 2019, are not expected to return to 2019 levels, probably during the lifetime of this projection, at least based on what we know now. But as OEMs see this, they may adjust their offers over time to address this, and we may already be seeing some of those trends. So if we then take a look at the cut sheet market, it shows a similar trajectory to continuous feed inkjet on recurring revenues, again, our proxy for print volumes. I have to note, I look at these charts with CF and CS, it's a little confusing. I generally prefer to use the terms roll fed or web fed and then sheet fed inkjet, because otherwise you get these charts that show CF for continuous feed and CS for cut sheet, and it's easy to confuse people. So, but anyway, looking at sheet fed or cut sheet, we see a pretty strong bounce back in recurring revenue right in 2020 with actual growth in 2021. After that, the trajectory for new inkjet investment in sheet fed inkjet is far more robust than with the web fed devices. Cut sheet investment levels are projected to return to 2019 levels by 2022 and continue with double digit growth. So that's pretty optimistic. That's looking pretty good. Web investment in the document market is projected at less than half of 2019 levels well into 2025. But if you think about it, continuous feed inkjet is a much more mature market, and it's difficult to maintain high growth in the best of times. So also keep in mind that the data shown here is for the overall inkjet document market, and investment in inkjet for labels and packaging and some other markets may rebound more quickly, while other markets may have a slower rebound. So this is really looking at specific market, and there's averages in the market overall. It's also possible that as brands and print providers rethink their strategies in light of consumer changes and B2B buyer relocations and lower job volumes in subsegments, inkjet may actually be a beneficiary of some of the changes that we're seeing going on, but it's too early to really forecast that.
Elizabeth?
Yes.
We have a question, just while we're on that slide. Will new print engines be faster? That could explain why the sales of new equipment is slowing, whereas the recurrent revenue is growing very fast.
Yeah, we'll take a look at some of, we'll look at some of the devices. Some of the devices are faster, some slightly faster, but that's not really the trend we see of where the market focus is. However, new inkjet sales revenue can also be based on entry-level devices, which are a lower price tag. So we'll get into that a little bit further on, but good question.
Thank you. Okay.
All right. So, you know, you got to wonder sometimes if these inkjet OEMs are mind readers, because even though they could not have predicted the interesting times we face in 2020, when you look back at the device announcements from 2019, in light of these forward projections, it really makes you wonder if there's a few psychics on staff out there. So with that said, let's take a look at some of the trends from the announcements in 2019, and this may shed some light on the question that was just asked as well. So in 2019, there were six major new device launches in the production inkjet document space, and five of them were sheet fed devices. Okay, so that's where a lot of the new equipment has come on the market. So that's also where you would be likely to see growth. These also, for the most part, tend to be less expensive than the web-fed devices. So it's a little bit different contribution to the revenue line. So across the formats, we see two major trends in the new market entrants. Some are devices that are intended to open up new graphic arts intensive markets. That is really the major focus for many, many OEMs. But there's also devices that are focused on reducing investment and recurring costs in more established markets like transaction printing. So it's basically saying, all right, there's people who have not been able to get into that market. There's a lot of smaller companies that haven't invested yet. So let's make an easier entry point to those. So relative to the continuous versus sheet fed discussion, the Ricoh Pro VC70,000 was the only completely new web-fed device introduced in 2019, although Canon and Screen both delivered some pretty significant upgrades to their devices. So all of these are targeted at graphic arts commercial printing, where media range and versatility are competitive factors. Ricoh and Screen have the distinction of being able to print on offset stocks, including gloss coated stocks with no additional primer or fluid. So 83% of these were sheet fed devices, and that's where we are looking forward seeing a lot of new buying happening even after COVID-19. So we're going to look at a few devices, really focusing on what's relatively new, but we're actually tracking over 170 devices. And a lot of times when we talk about inkjet devices, we're talking about a family of equipment that can be configured multiple ways. So sometimes there's mono and color versions or dye and pigment versions or variations that are just tweaked for a particular market. But tracking the different configurations helps us to look at the markets that the devices are suited for and also look for trends. So we can't fit everything on here that's on Device Finder without giving you guys all a magnifying glass, but we're going to try to give you the product families and set the context for the web-fed production market and where it stood at the end of 2019. So if we take a look here at the high-speed color web offers at the end of 2019 in North America. On this chart, we're looking at all the devices in North America. So you're not going to see things like, you know, Fuji Xerox that may be available in Asia, or some devices that are only available in Europe, like the Ricoh Pro V20,000, I think it is, that's not available in the US. So we're showing about 37 devices at the end of 2019, but as noted, many are product families with multiple configurations. So you might ask yourself, why would we need more options when there's so many things out there? Well, it's because OEMs want to deliver higher speed, higher coverage, higher quality on a wider range of media, or they want to drive down the cost of investment to get at the entry-level market. So, and here's a few weasel words of disclosure for you, and that's that the speeds shown are based on OEM supplied specifications. They're shown here on this chart in linear feet per minute. However, the actual productivity in terms of images per minute is going to be based on the web width, which varies significantly by device. So some of these machines produce over 5,000 images per minute, but the majority are well under 3,000. So also keep in mind that many devices have multiple speed modes. We're looking at the top speed of the device, and some may not deliver their top quality and resolution at their top speed. So basically, weasel words are, your mileage may vary, see dealer for details. Buyer beware. So as we look past 2019 and say, what happened coming into the next year, we close in on the halfway point of 2020, There are 1.5 new WebFed inkjet announcements. And I say 1.5 because HP and Bluecrest are business partners that are both sharing in the benefits of HP's new announcement. HP is already established in the commercial print sector and is delivering important innovations that many HP customers have been asking for a while. So Bluecrest will leverage these updates in the transaction printing segment, where providers are trying to deliver better brand support and move into new markets with inkjet. So let's take a look at the new PageWide 250 HD. This is an upgrade to HP's T240 press, and it addresses some pretty significant market needs that their customers have been waiting for. And it took a while to get here, but what I really appreciate about HP's approach is that they took the time to maintain an upgrade path, even though it will take longer to get the devices in the field by doing that. The T250 fits both trends we talked about earlier. It targets the high quality graphic arts market, and it also provides a lower cost entry point for some customers because customers with those existing T200 family of presses can upgrade for what's estimated at about 15% of the cost of a new machine. So the big story here is HP's Brilliant Ink, which delivers an extended gamut over HP's previous ink sets. And it also greatly expands their ability to print high coverage applications on coated and offset coated media. It goes hand in hand with advancements in additional fluids. So it still uses an additional fluid to enable compatibility with offset stocks. But instead of needing a bonding agent for uncoated and a primer for coated, there's a single HP optimizer fluid for both types of papers that's jetted just where needed. The system also ships with an inline vision system, so a color vision system and a color spectrophotometer. It's called HP's Quality Image Check Vision System, and it monitors print quality in real time and provides the operator with performance insights while running the press at speed. So that's a pretty good enhancement there. And then if you look at kind of the overall of the press specs, not surprisingly, going into the commercial offset market, they're increasing their resolution as well. So I also want to mention that on June 15th, during Inkjet Insights Innovation Week, Mary Schilling and Jim Jackson are going to do a deeper dive on WebFed production inkjet, and they're going to talk more about some of the capabilities here in more detail, but here are some high points. So with a top speed of 500 feet per minute and a web width of 22 inches, the PageWide 250 HD has a maximum productivity of 1,000 images per minute. And like many other HP devices, it offers three running modes: performance, quality, and performance HDK. The quality mode delivers the top resolution of 2400 DPI native, and that's double the current T240 performance. The performance mode, which offers the top speed, drops the resolution back down to 1200, which is similar to the current models. The performance HTK mode delivers cyan, magenta, and yellow at 1200 DPI with black at 2400 DPI. It supports paperweights between 40 and 250 GSM, so 10-point or 170-pound text or 90-pound cover, which covers a lot of different applications. These capabilities will be available from HP near the end of 2020 and will also be incorporated into the IntelliJet line from Bluecrest in that timeframe. So we could spend the whole lunch and learn just drilling down into these capabilities, but there's more to cover. So let me drop over to Richard for a minute.
All right, thank you, Elizabeth. This session is also being sponsored by Canon Solutions America. Looking to get more profit and more business? Of course you are. The VarioPrint iX series from Canon Solutions America gives Canon customers sheet-fed versatility and inkjet productivity at an attractive running cost, so they can indeed experience more profit, more business. Built on the success of the VarioPrint iSeries platform, introduced in 2015, this advanced sheet-fed inkjet press utilizes Iquarius iX technologies, which combine the image quality of offset with the productivity and cost efficiency of production inkjet to support customers with production volumes of 1 to 10 million letter images per month. The VeloPrint iX combines stunning image quality and wide media range from 60 to 350 GSM gloss-coated cover stock. The speed and consistency of running 4,500 12x18 sheets 4x4 per hour provides high productivity and demonstrates the attractive cost efficiency of inkjet. Check out more about the VeloPrint iX at www.pps.csa.canon.com/iX-series. And thanks to Canon Solutions America for helping bring this session to you this week. And now, back to Elizabeth.
Thanks, Richard. And thanks, Canon's doing my work for me, talking all about the cut sheet, because that's where we're headed right now. Back at 2019, looking at cut sheet or sheet-fed inkjet devices. And note that on this graphic, we're showing speed in terms of images per minute rather than feet per minute. And the devices are also organized here by sheet size in terms of B3, B2, B1. I saw a little graphic roll up the screen, which shows that in contrast to the roll-fed market, the top speeds of most sheet-fed devices only approach the speed of the low end of continuous printers. So while they're getting faster, some have gotten a little faster, they're still approaching the low end of the market when we're talking about the B2 and B3 sheet-fed printers. This is a much less mature market than the continuous feed inkjet with a lot of new development going on. And the presses shown here in green came on the market in 2019. And then Canon also made some enhancements to their VarioPrint i200 and i300 line during that time as well. The S10P from Landa, the J-Press 750S from Fujifilm, and the Baltoro from Xerox all are targeting different aspects of commercial print, while the Riso Velizis and the MCS Merlin K146C are some of those new affordable inkjet options that are trying to make their way into transaction printers and bring them into the inkjet game. So, but we also lost a few devices in 2019. So, when Xerox launched the Baltoro in April of last year, they had already stopped production of the Brenva. In March of 2020, Heidelberg announced that they would cease production of the PrimeFire 106 sometime in 2020 as part of a restructuring program. So far 2020 hasn't been as busy as 2019 in new announcements, but we expect to see at least two more sheet-fed devices launched at or before Drupa. So the two new devices on the market in 2020 are both from Canon, and they are the VarioPrint iX3200 and the VarioPrint iX2100, talked about together as the VarioPrint iX series. So while they both say VarioPrint and i something, this is not really an upgrade of the i series, it's a lot of new stuff. So let's take a look. The two B3 devices share the same footprint and the same features, except for speed. So to upgrade from the 2100 iX series to the iX3200 is as simple as a license key. All the great features of the iX series are delivered using new heads, new inks, a new transport, new dryers. So there's not a direct upgrade from the current i series or what is called the i series plus in the US. Because the iX series is really reaching for a new, more graphic intensive market, the current i series will continue to be sold in the markets where it's a fit as the iX series tries to move on to even greener pastures and the bigger untapped markets within commercial print. The new advances of the VarioPrint iX series allow Canon to drive higher quality and higher coverage on a wider range of media into the commercial print market and also deliver slightly higher speeds than the i series. The improvements in paper handling and registration control also allow support for mixed media jobs at full speed. That's not an easy feat of engineering, and it offers commercial printers a great deal of versatility in the types of jobs that can be produced on this press. So let's look at a little bit more on this. So someone asked about speed and are things getting faster? So the iX series is about 8% faster than the iSeries or iSeries Plus. And it offers a native resolution of 1200 DPI, which is double that of the iSeries. It also takes the heavy paper handling up from 300 to 350 GSM. And the combination of the iQuarius ink and Canon Color Grip Primer allow excellent color quality on offset stocks, including offset coated gloss papers. So it can handle, you know, much higher coverage on those gloss papers that the graphic arts market loves so much. The paper transport has also been completely reworked with a focus on registration quality, speed, and access for the updated drying technology. And all of these enhancements working together set the stage for higher quality jobs with higher ink coverage on stocks up to 130 pounds, including offset coated. The VarioPrint iX series is being launched first in Europe and then in the US, with the first placements happening in July, which can't come fast enough, man. I'm ready for July. I will be talking more about this and other cut sheet inkjet devices on June 16th, along with Ralph Schloser, and we're doing a drill down session on sheet fed inkjet. It's part of our inkjet innovation week. So a few, you know, final thoughts here on the tech outlook looking forward. As I said, we will continue to see more sheet fed entrants. Komori already announced their B1 device, but the launch dates were delayed, and I think they're trying to stay in tune with Drupa. We also expect to see additional solutions for low cost options in maturing jet markets. We've already started to see growing interest in refurbished devices, particularly where there's an upgrade path that exists. We also expect to see more interest in integrators and hybrid solutions as commercial printers look for ways to get in the inkjet game without ditching existing devices or adding more labor costs. So overall, despite slashed budgets, we expect that OEMs and component developers will continue R&D investments into higher speed, higher coverage, higher quality inkjet systems. And I firmly believe that inkjet is one of the best ways to build resiliency into the printing market. And I'm looking forward to seeing the new developments that shake out during the rest of 2020. And I'm also looking forward to seeing what my colleague David Zwang has to say about inkjet in the packaging market, where there's a lot going on as well. And for now, I'll thank you all for your time and attention and hand the baton back to Richard.
All right. This webinar is also being sponsored in part by Cal Collins, innovating inkjet for all applications. Cal Collins manufactures industrial inkjet ink that help you reduce cost, increase productivity, and expand your printing capabilities. Visit them online at www.calcollins.com. And yes, we have another virtual event coming up. This virtual event thing is starting to catch on. I think I'm going to forget how to get to the airport or how my car works. But anyway, we our friends at Inkjet Insight will be doing an Inkjet Innovation Week, June 15th to 19th, 5 days of webinar sessions that take a real deep dive into all facets of production inkjet. Monday session, we'll look at driving innovation in web-fed inkjet systems. Tuesday, we'll look at opening new markets with sheet-fed. Wednesday, we'll look at packaging, inkjet drivers and innovations there. Thursday, we'll look at essential software for inkjet innovators. And rounding out the week on Friday, inkjet paper and specialty media. For more information and to register, visit inkjetinsight.com/knowledgebase/inkjetinnovationweek2020. And this link will be live on the archive, which you can download. And I think we're up to questions. We have a couple of questions that have come in. Going back to the HP slides, the HP T250 that prints at 2400 DPI at full speed, we are asked.
In performance mode, it prints at the top speed and drops to 1200 DPI. In quality mode, the speed drops, and I don't have the exact speed in front of me here, but I believe it's roughly half speed in that mode. However, in the performance HTK mode, it is also printing at 500 feet per minute productivity.
I think this is also on the HP slide. Someone asked about, to clarify, 1,000 letter images per month. I'm just wondering if that's true or not, or if it's a typo or.
Well, no, that's basically taking the, oh, per month, per minute, let's say per month.
She says per month, or he says per month.
We'll fix the slide if it's there, but it is the feet per minute times the web width. So if you're doing, 500 feet per minute, two up, you get to 1,000 images per minute.
Okay. Let's see. Anything on the horizon in mid-volume color micr, say 20 to 30,000 feet per hour or images per hour on 8.5 by 11?
There's quite a few things out there now. I believe that Ricoh just added some micr capabilities to their Pro VC line. I believe I saw a newsflash on that. And you can also do a search on Inkjet Insights Device Finder, and micr is one of the fields that you can search on to find devices.
Let's see. Comparing toner to inkjet, both are variable data, both could be cut sheet, similar page size. What are some of the big differences?
Could you do that one more time slowly, Richard?
Comparing toner to inkjet, both are variable data, both could be cut sheet, similar page size. What are some of the big differences?
Sure.
I guess doing variable data, toner versus inkjet.
Sure. Well, the big one typically is production cost. So similar format, similar speed, an aqueous device will be significantly less expensive. A UV inkjet device will be slightly less expensive than its toner equivalent. In terms of production quality, that varies on a device by device basis. In terms of the resolution and color gamut, many are comparable. I know you've got a lot of people who want to try to be the indigo killer, and the toner can have, in certain factors, more surface durability, but not always, and more post-finishing embellishments available for the commercial print market. However, a lot of those fun embellishing things are also being made available for inkjet. So inkjet, in terms of new sales, really is moving in on toner. And in many markets, the inkjet produced pages are outstripping those color toner pages.
Hmm. How many colors for the VarioPrint?
Four. CMYK.
Okay. With resolutions higher, devices getting faster together with variable data, what impact does that have on data rates that need to be handled by the RIP DFE?
Oh, I bet I know who asked that question. it is a challenge. It is a challenge for the RIPs, and it's a challenge writing the data out and then reading it out. And RIP software is going to be one of the factors that we're going to talk about during Innovation Week. And it is a problem that needs to be addressed, because you have the potential for devices not being able to run at full speed because the images can't be processed quickly enough to allow them to run.
Can you clarify again on the initial graphs what the HW stood for in the bar charts, the blue bar?
The HW, hardware. It's hardware. Sorry. Yeah. It's the hardware investment versus the recurring income. So on the left is new devices being sold, and on the right, the orange bar, is the recurring revenue, which is the proxy for page volumes being printed and the amount of recurring revenue that the OEMs get.
Okay. By the way, for those who join kind of late-ish, you will be able to download and archive both slides and audio of this presentation, which should be up on the webinar site by the end of business today. Let's see. Are there any new B2 presses coming out? TCO for the KM1 seems to be more expensive than the Indigo 12,000 line.
Nothing we can talk about at this time.
Okay, answers that. What is the percent of digital volume printed on inkjet technology today?
That's a stat that I don't know off the top of my head, but I can tell you that inkjet has surpassed toner in direct mail, and it was already pretty much dominated the transaction print market, and is still behind toner in commercial print, and digital overall is behind offset in commercial print.
Someone just wants to repeat of the link to the comparison site that you just referenced with the micro question.
Yes, if you go to inkjetinsight.com under resources, and I believe from the homepage as well, you can get to Device Finder. And there's also Paper Finder, Software Finder, and Workflow Finder, where you can search for various inkjet equipment. You can search by company or you can search by requirements.
Can you address the differences between dye versus pigment, UV, water versus solvent versus latex, and so on and so forth?
Sure, let me make a stab at that. So what we really work with in the production inkjet market is going to be either your aqueous dye, aqueous pigment, or UV curable inks. There's also, I guess, Riso, which offers an oil-based ink. I think they're the only ones that do. So on the aqueous side, dye is, you know, soluble in the carrier, whereas the pigment is more solids that tend to stay on the surface a bit more. So you see that most of the devices that are targeting commercial print are pigmented devices. You used to see more transaction printers going with dye because it was less expensive, although that's leveled out a little bit. The pigmented inks, the pigment tends to stay on the surface a little better, so drive a higher color gamut. And then you also have some of the newer inks, the things that you're seeing from HP and the new Aquarius inks from Canon and Ricoh and Screen as well, that have many more additives in the ink to leave more of the pigment on the paper. In the case of Screen and Ricoh, as I mentioned earlier, those are kind of the super inks that don't require any additional fluid to allow them to work with the offset uncoated or offset coated papers. But it's overall, the different OEMs are looking at the balance of how they manage the number of additives in the pigment ink itself, which can drive up the cost of the ink, versus using a jetted fluid in certain spots only when needed to support that ink on certain papers. So then the other question is UV. So UV inks have the widest compatibility with the most substrates. They've got very good color. They can print on much broader array than the aqueous inks can. However, they're also much more expensive inks typically. So that is a cost. They also dry with a much more durable surface and more water fast than either of the aqueous inks. Hopefully that was enough for the moment, but we'll probably be drilling down more on that in our technical session.
Okay, great. I guess a related, not so much a question as a comment, is cost of equipment is not relevant. Consumable cost is key. Inkjet ink is much cheaper than toner, if you want to comment about that.
Yeah, I mean, they're both relevant, but you have to look at the ongoing cost of the machine. And the other key factor is how much you're going to run on it. So what the combination of a very high-end piece of equipment that can manage, 10 million or more, 20 million or more images per month could be incredibly cost efficient, but it becomes much less so if you're only running 2 million a month on it. So you really have to look at all of those factors together. But I agree with the person in saying, don't walk away from a machine because it has a higher opening price tag if the consumables are much less. So for example, the MCS device, one of our sponsors here that was mentioned, is an entry-level machine, but they've also eliminated clicks from the whole equation. And so their running costs go way down. So you really have to look at the whole combination of the consumables cost, the capital cost of the equipment itself, the labor cost to run it, and what kind of volume you can put on that machine, and will it run also the substrates that will make it less expensive, that if you'll run on uncoated stock versus treated or inkjet coated stocks.
Okay. Here's a kind of philosophical one. Inside one printer category, which products will prevail after the crisis, the high-end, high-price printers or low-end, low-price?
Both. There's markets for both of them. So I don't think there's a matter of prevailing. I mean, clearly, companies are putting the R&D into, higher cost machines with higher cost inks in order to get into high quality markets or even create new markets where they want, personalized, highly graphical output. And that's not cheap. On the other hand, there's still a lot of communications that don't need that level of quality. They may be high volume. They may need personalization. And, if there's an entry level, low cost device to get into that market, it's going to be successful. And that's why you've seen a number of people, a number of OEMs trying to find entry points there. There's many, many more printing companies out there that are small, that don't have inkjet, than the large ones that do.
Shops that have multiple inkjet engines, two or more, are they typically all from the same manufacturer or do they mix and match?
I see a lot of mix and match, actually. And part of that was also you had people who initially went web-fed and then were looking to add a sheet-fed device to go along with that. And there weren't many on the market. So if you were going to go with another device, it also may be that, the OEMs leapfrog each other, right? Somebody comes out with something, somebody else comes out 18 months later with something that's a little bit better. So the device that you bought 3 years ago might be the best one, but depending on where you are in the buying cycle versus the OEM's development cycle, are you going to wait a year for the next thing to come out? Or are you going to try to buy whatever's the best on the market right now? Unless, of course, there's an upgrade path. So the upgrade path tends to keep customers on board.
What are you seeing in the paper market for inkjet? Is paper sourcing still a challenge?
That is not really my primary area of expertise. That's really a great Mary Schilling question, but it's been really up and down. So just about a year and a half ago, we were looking at some pretty severe paper shortages. Now in certain places, we've got paper gluts because of a lot of the marketing printing that hasn't happened recently, that's dropped. But we continue to have the problems with packaging being very, very profitable and that kind of sucking away the raw materials from some of the other markets. So there's certain areas like some of the the inkjet treated and inkjet coated and highly calendared papers where there's not a huge supply, but there's some new suppliers coming on the market and some new offers coming on the market.
Great. Okay, we're running low on time, so maybe one or two more, and then we'll see if we can respond to any outstanding questions offline separately. Will production inkjet ever move into expanded gamut, CMYK plus OGV, for example?
Yes. I think you will see that coming in the not too distant future. Maybe not by Drupa, but not far out.
How important is it for the final consumer eco features, green issues? You know, toner has no solvents and has much better de-inkability, so on and so forth. How is sustainability an issue?
It's a huge issue in packaging. It's I'd say a larger issue in Europe than it is in the US, but it is definitely a growing issue. And whether consumers are asking for it or not, and some are, shareholders are asking for it. So there's pressure on the OEMs from the investment side, from sustainable investors and endowments and things like that to improve the sustainability of their offers.
All right. We'll try to answer the rest of these questions offline. We'll let you get back to your day. Let's see, the rest of Technology Week is, if you could switch the slide. Technology Week continues. Join me tomorrow at the same time. Pat McGrew will talk about workflow and software. On Wednesday, Dave Zwang will look at labels and packaging. On Thursday, I will be joined by Carrie Sherburn, and we will tag team a look at wide format signage and apparel. And we finish out the week on Friday appropriately with finishing, presented by Trish Witkowski. To register for any or all of these sessions, please visit whatthethink.com/webinars. We have an updated special report out. We have updated our original Printing Outlook 2020 report, which we had originally released in January in the before times, and have since updated it with new data on the impact of the COVID-19 crisis on the industry and several best guesses as to how it's going to impact the economy and the industry by the end of 2020 and beyond. So to get your copy, go to store.whatthethink.com. And as I said before, you can download an archive of this session, slides and audio, and that archive should be up on the site by the end of business today. Simply go to whatthethink.com/webinars. So it just remains for me to thank Elizabeth Gooding for presenting today's session. Thanks to MCS, Canon Solutions America, and Cal Collins for sponsoring today's webinar. And thank you all for attending. Stay safe, and we'll hopefully see you back here tomorrow. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Thanks, Richard.
Thank you.